I think this is just bananas good.
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4 powering up. Mark 17 powering up. Mark 44 powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to house party protocol.
Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today is a pretty awesome man from across the seas. It's the one and only the Wargaming Dad, or Darren, as some of you might know him out there. What's happening, my guy?
Not a lot. Thanks for having me. What an intro.
Yeah, man, I'm really glad to get you on. You have been following along with the show for a long time, and one, I really appreciate that. Like, you know, you and I have interacted a lot over the social medias and everything. And so it's really great to finally get a chance to talk to you and get a chance to interact in this way. And I know you're also an accuser of the TTS League, right?
Yes, I've just recently been judging some games last night, actually. So
nice. How'd they go?
Yeah, it was good games. There's some really good competition between the top cut competitors, as well there always is.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. So if you want, why don't you tell all the suits out there a little bit about yourself and kind of what got you into MCP and kind of why you love it so much and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, I've been gaming since I was a young lad, but when I seen MCP being launched, or it was previewed, I immediately ordered it, thinking, oh, it'll be awesome to play with my little nephew who's 8. And I got the game and we played a few times, and then lockdown happened, and well, that was the end of that. And do you know what I mean? We haven't played a lot since, but thankfully, like, the TTS leagues and everything on that has kept me going with Marvel.
Nice. Yeah, I love this game so much, and that's really cool that you bought it to play with a kid and bringing a kid into the hobby. Like, that's just wonderful. Like, that, yeah. I think that's really great. And it's one of the things that I think this game does really well is have that broad appeal. You know, it appeals to people that are the power gamers. It appeals to people that are casual, and it appeals to kids, because in the end of the day, it's superhero battles.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing. He loves getting Hulk and smashing my characters up with them.
Love it, yeah, love it. And look, everybody loves it when Hulk works right. Everybody loves it. So
yeah. You've got to set him up as well, haven't you? So, like, he's only young, so I'll make sure that all my characters are set up so he can smash them pretty good.
100%, absolutely, yeah. Get a thunderclap going and then a Hulk smash into something else. Yeah. I mean, I get it, yes. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. So, also, you mentioned previews in that. You said you previewed MCP. Well, MCP and our AMG overlords have blessed us with another preview just today, right before we started recording. And that is a whole new Mystic range of characters. It's the only way I can think to describe it. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I've heard it's the year of Mystic, and today's release just confirms it.
Right. So basically, what do we have? So we've got all new boxes that are coming out, and we don't know when these are released, but apparently I've heard some whispers that it's not going to be until like October or September that these start to release.
Yeah. And at the end of the awesome video they released earlier, it said Q3. So I was assuming maybe it's coincide with the year two release date. I'm thinking the end of November.
Right. Yeah. You know, that makes a really good point right there, because it is coming up on Gen Con here in a little bit of less than a month, I guess. And they do like to have the big reveals, and maybe this is kind of a part of that. And so what are these new models? So we've got Mordo and the Ancient One, Doctor Strange and Clea, the Sanctum Sanctorum Terrain Pack, a Dormammu pack. It looks like it's going to be an Ultimate Encounter and character pack, so that's kind of pretty cool. And then we've got Dr. Voodoo and Hood. So that's a lot. And if they all come out in one wave, oof, your poor wallet. But
yeah, and you forgot the terrain piece as well.
The Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I said that in there, but yes, it's
in
there.
Oh, you might have done. Oh, sorry. But yeah, that's just an amazing piece of terrain as well.
It is. And there's also been a lot of speculation out there on the internet, and I've got to go into this because I think it's kind of funny, that the Sanctum Sanctorum and Dormammu both are going to cost $80. And I'm like, whew, that's a lot. But, you know, that terrain piece looks amazing. The apartment building that just came out was, I think, $70. And, you know, I understand, like, terrain. You can get cheaper terrain out there and stuff like that. But having the in-world of MCP terrain is kind of cool. And the apartment building's not for me personally. If you got it, that's awesome. I can't wait to see how you paint it up out there in the world. But the Sanctum Sanctorum, that's one that I'm going to be like, okay, I might have to buy this.
Yeah, definitely. I was the same with the apartment buildings. But a few of my friends have got them, and they've painted them up, and they look absolutely awesome.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a few online, and I'm just like, I wish I had the patience to paint that big piece of terrain like that.
Yeah, it is a big piece.
Yeah. But out of all of these models, what are you most excited for?
I think it's probably Mordo.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've always liked the bad guy, so Mordo's appealing to me. I'm not too familiar with the comic lore on Doctor Strange. So I'm assuming Dr. Voodoo is the bad version of him?
Actually, no. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so Dr. Voodoo is Jericho... Oh, I can't remember his last name. But basically, he becomes the Sorcerer Supreme at one point, and that's when they start calling him Dr. Voodoo, but he's commonly referred to as Brother Voodoo throughout the comics for a long time, and he's got, kind of uses a different kind of mystic thing. He's got his brother died, and so he's got like this ghost of his brother that hangs out with him a lot, and yeah, so that, like, it could be a really interesting mechanic that they incorporate there somehow. But yeah, for me, I'm really excited for a new Doctor Strange. I mean, probably shocking no one that's listened to this show for a while. Like, I love Doctor Strange in my Web Warriors, and I'm sure that they're going to do something really interesting and new and change him up. And I can't wait. Can't wait at all. And the last thing I'm going to talk about with these new models here is with this new Mordo, it's taking a movie Mordo approach versus a comic Mordo approach. And I know you said you aren't too familiar with Mordo in the comics, but I think it's kind of cool because it's kind of what people know him as right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think like we'll probably get in these models as well, because isn't there a new Doctor Strange film coming out next year or later this year?
Yeah, it's coming out at the beginning of next year. So
yeah,
like I think March of 2022.
Yeah, and I think we know they like to tie stuff in if they can. So I think this will be aimed, like you said, more towards the movie version.
Yep, 100%. And then, you know, I'm really excited for all of this. Like, this Dormammu model looks bananas.
Oh, insane.
Like, I am so excited. And it looks, if it's $80, so like, let's put all these pieces together. So again, speculation time. If it's $80, the model has to be huge. Do you think we have our first size 5 character?
Yeah, he has to be. I've seen people doing like comparisons with like base sizes next to the model, and they're saying he's going to be like 5-6 inches tall.
Wow.
So that's going to be pretty impressive on your table, isn't it?
Right. And if he's usable on the battlefield, just like Thanos is, but comes with an ultimate encounter, I mean, that's going to be value packed box.
Yeah. I think it's up on the website. That's actually what comes in the pack, and you get the Dormammu miniature, one Nexus, two Dimensional Rifts, 34 tokens, 3 tip cards, one Mystic Surge deck, one character stat card, 2 Ultimate Encounter large stat cards, a rule book, and 2 tactics cards.
Wow.
So I would say he's definitely playable.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm so excited. Like this whole wave just sounds so cool, and you know, it's one of those things. Like, I'm so excited to get all the stuff in this game, and I'm so excited for the new Spiders to finally release in the U.S. one day. But like this right here is just so cool, and I can't, absolutely cannot wait to get my hands on these models. So I think that's the biggest piece of news that we have from MCP currently. Is that what you got?
Yeah, definitely. And it's only dropped like within the last hour or so as well.
Right. So expect more news in the not too far off time frame from all of this stuff. And then we did get a recent look at the Blade and Moon Knight model pack that they talked about, which we know now that Midnight Suns is coming to MCP.
Yeah.
I can't wait. All right, so in the comics, we have Ghost Rider in Midnight Suns. Do you think that Ghost Rider will finally find a great home?
I hope so. I really like Ghost Rider, but at the moment, he just doesn't seem to fit anywhere, does he, at all?
Yeah, and that's what's crazy. Like, he's one of these models that I love the model. I love his rules. I think he's a very good character, but it just doesn't quite fit all the time. And that's, you know, it is what it is.
Yep, definitely. It is what it is.
But speaking of things that kind of fit, but maybe are out of place at first glance, let's talk about our main topic today, and that is the one and only Cassandra Nova. And we're only talking about her today because, one, we don't have any more reveals, and two, because I think she's kind of an interesting character with a lot of interactions and a lot of things to discuss. And let's start, like we always do, by taking a look at her model. So what do you think of this model?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I don't think it's like one of the best they've done, but I still quite like it. The tactical explosion?
Uh-huh.
Is that what we're calling it this time?
I don't know if that's what we call it this time on that. Like, it's not really a tactical explosion in this instance, right? It's a tactical pogo energy jump.
Yeah, I can go with that one. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. There is precedent for that in the comic, which is, I guess, where they went with it. But I like the model, too. It's fine. It's not my favorite sculpt of all of them. And I saw someone, they clipped off, or they didn't use the explosion part of the thing. And they just put her, like, down with the bottom little part exploding out. And
yeah, I've seen that one on Facebook.
Yeah, and that looks cool. And then someone said, oh, it looks like Singing in the Rain. And now I can't unsee it. Like, if you did that to your Cassandra Nova, that's great. I think it looks cool. You should totally paint it as water and make her cane a little umbrella. It's a missed opportunity if you don't. But anyways, back to Cassandra Nova's stat card here. So let's start by taking a look at her top stat line. We have Cassandra Nova Xavier as an alter ego. Her top stat line is 7 stamina, she moves medium, she is size 2, threat value of 5. She has a physical defense of 2, an energy defense of 3, and a mystic defense of 4. So, pretty interesting stat line there. Threat value 5, 7 stamina. That stands out pretty good to me.
Yeah, definitely. Two things that stand out are, well, the 3 things then would be a threat of 5, the stamina of 7 is amazing, and a mystic defense of 4.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is one of the most interesting stat lines that we've seen on a character in a long time because of, one, the ascending values of defense, so the 2, 3, and 4. So she's supposed to be this mental powerhouse, and she's got a 4 of mystic defense, whereas we've seen other characters in kind of a similar vein have 5 or even 6 mystic defense, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. And then we've seen a character that is widely regarded as one of the best characters in the game in MODOK, and he's got a 2 physical defense, and we see kind of how that affects him, but he has a really nice defensive tool built in to stop those wilds from counting. So let's see if Cassandra Nova has some similar tools in her toolbox, because at first glance, I love the 7 stamina, because it's really hard to chew through that.
Yeah, but definitely.
The 2 physical defense is...
makes it very open for throws and a lot of, like, 4 dice attacks even like to look at 2 dice defense.
Exactly, exactly. So do you want to go over her attacks and then we'll talk about them?
Yep. We'll start with the Psionic Bolt. It's a range 4, 5 dice. It's her builder. After this attack is resolved, this character gains power equal to the damage dealt. Always nice. Yep. And she has a wild ability. We've seen this before. It's sap power. Before damage is dealt, the target loses 1 power for each wild in the attack roll. And this character gains that many power.
That's right. And it's a mystic attack. So important to note that. And it's funny because, like, I'm sitting here talking about Cassandra Nova, and I know that she's a different character, but I feel like I just had this exact same discussion with Jean Grey, because basically the top 2 things are very similar between these 2 characters. And I think that Psionic Bolt here in this form feels like a reaction to MODOK. Like, I don't want to assign intent to what AMG was thinking, but like, this being 5 dice versus the 6 dice that MODOK has on a 5 threat character feels like a, maybe that was a little too tuned. Let's tune it down a little bit. Is that the impression you get here too?
Yeah, definitely. You're going to draw the comparison straight away, aren't you? Because they're both 5 threat and with the mystic attack and the sap power, so.
Right. And it's literally called the same thing, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things. This is a really good builder. Like, any other character in the game would be happy to have a builder like this. Range 4, strength 5. A strength 5 attack, I think, is kind of like your baseline of where you start to feel good about your attack dice. And then you add that sap power in there. Well, now you've upped your ability to gain that power and sustain your power generation, which I really like.
Yes, because as we will see, she does like to spend the power as well.
So much spending power. So what's her next attack?
She's got another attack called Mind Possession. It's a range 3, 6 dice, and it costs 1 power, and it's a mystic attack again. After this attack is resolved, you may advance the character its speed. No wow. Directions or anything, no damage to be done. Just advance that character.
Wow. And it costs you 1 power, and it's mystic also. Like, wow.
Yeah, it's deception on tap.
Exactly. And how? And without the, well, if someone's within range 2, it turns off deception.
Yep, exactly. So in a way, it's even better.
Right. And I can't with this attack. Like, it's so good. This to me is what this character is right here.
Yeah, she's got so much control between actually moving herself and opponent's models. It's incredible.
Yeah, and what's cool about this attack, I think, is one, it's 6 dice, so it's powerful, right? But you're not necessarily going to be nuking people with it. Like, we see a lot of times so far in this game where we have these really big, powerful attacks, right? And they end up just killing people off the board more so than doing the cool thing that happens, right?
Yeah. They don't get the triggers because the person's already dead.
Exactly, exactly. Like I think a good example of that would be Iron Fist. Like, Iron Fist is a really great character, but he rolls 8 dice when he does the Iron Fist, which if a character already has some damage on it or doesn't have a high health pool to begin with, more than likely you're going to just straight up daze that character versus give him an activated token.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's fine. It feels good still. But Cassandra Nova here, 6 dice mystic. It's range 3, so you do have to be a little closer than you do with your Psionic Bolt. But I think that this is just insane, and it's got so much nuance to it that I think that we're not going to be able to sit here and say that this is when you want to use this, this is when you don't want to use this, because I think more often than not, you're going to want to be this battlefield manipulator and moving characters around as much as possible. And as someone like myself who likes to play the spider friends, it's going to be really good against those characters because, oh, Gwen's over here on a wing just hanging out. Well, guess what? Now she's in the middle of the meat grinder over here. You know what I mean?
And they don't like mystic attacks either, so.
Exactly. So it's, I think this is just bananas good, personally.
It is.
Next up?
We've got flesh manipulation. It's a only physical attack. It's a range 2, 8 dice attack, and it costs 4 power. Wow. Then it has a wild effect, explosive force. After this attack is resolved, other characters within range 2 of this character are pushed away from this character short. Pushed characters suffer 1 damage.
That's pretty cool. So this is an interesting attack because I feel like that it's one that I'm not going to want to use very often on her, especially as we get into her superpowers. But if given the opportunity, you get those models all clumped up together, you know, you've got some damage out there on people, you're playing on maybe Gamma or some C shape where they're all just hanging out, and you get an opportunity to do this, this could be a big point swing also because you're pushing models away from the target character. You know, it's pretty good. Yeah. Oh, and I'm sorry, explosive force. It says, after this attack is resolved, other characters within range 2 of this character are pushed away from this character. So it's within range 2 of Cassandra Nova gets pushed away.
So basically, because the attack is only a range 2, so it's a bit like an area with the push, an AoE.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting.
It's good, but for 4 power, she's got a lot of other uses to spend her power on, so I'm not sure how often it'll be used, like you said.
100%.
But it's still a great attack.
Now, I think an interesting thing you could do with something like this, so let's say she's on her injured side, which, before we get too far out in here, on her injured side, she just loses 1 stamina, so she goes to 6 stamina. That's the only change. But let's play a little scenario game. So she's on her injured side. She's only got a couple of health left, but she's stacked with power. And do you think it would be crazy to do like a mind possession to move someone over closer to another group of characters and then try to get a flesh manipulation off to blow up that whole little area of characters potentially and then push them all away to make it to where they have a hard time getting back to her?
Well, yeah, that could definitely work, but she's also got other powers that when you move people can even cause even more damage, so
exactly.
She just synergizes so well with her own card. It's amazing.
It is. So let's start talking about those superpowers real quick. So first up, we have an active superpower, which means you have to use it on your turn, and that is biokinesis. It will cost you 3 power. Choose an enemy character within range 3. It gains the root and slow special conditions. Okay. I see you, Cassandra Nova, with your hard and soft control all on one card. What are you doing?
Yeah. Root as well is becoming really popular at the moment with the new characters coming out.
Oh, it's so good.
And especially if you happen to have Loki as well, it's devastating.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go ahead and talk about real quick what is slow and root. So slow means that whenever you advance, you have to use the slow movement tool. And it's important that even if you put slow on a character that is already slow moving, so like a Magneto or a Venom or something like that, it's important that that condition stays on them because there are cards and stuff like that, like Extreme Conditioning, that can give people long advances. If they're slowed, that will be a short advance. So it's important to note that kind of thing. And that's why putting those conditions out there, even if you think, well, he's already slow, so it doesn't matter, it still definitely can play a part. And then the root special condition is one where you have to pay an additional power to use your superpowers. So if you're familiar with Loki, like the Wargaming Dad said, then you basically are paying 2 extra power when you're within range 4 of Loki, if you have that root special condition. And I really like this superpower. I think it's cost you 3 power, so it's expensive. But putting the root and slow condition on people, especially slow, because it's not like the most powerful condition, but messing with characters' ability to get places is something that people don't account for.
Yeah, and you don't want to spend an action shaking slow either normally.
Exactly.
Because time you've shaken it, you could have double moved. So it's one of those things.
Exactly. So
the other little thing I was going to say, root, it's not an extra power. You pay 1 power before using the superpower.
Okay.
So there is a slight difference because with Captain America's Steve Rogers leadership, it costs 1 less. So with root, you would still pay the 1 before, then pay the whatever it was with Steve's leadership cost.
Oh, roger that. Okay, cool. Thank you for clearing that up. Hashtag accusers. No,
it's what we're here for.
That's right. I love it. No, that's cool. It's a condition that's, I think, really great. And just, again, you got to think sometimes with this game, you know, if you look at it from a competitive standpoint, you can see that people look at the economy of the game a lot. But even casually, you can see that there are certain things in the game that create a type of economy, and being able to mess with the costs of that economy, in this instance power, is going to be very powerful. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
So next superpower we have here, it is a reactive superpower. So that means there's a trigger, and then you can use this, whether it's on your turn or their turn. We'll find out when we read the stuff, but important to note how reactive powers work. Psychic Distraction. It will cost you 2 power. When an enemy character ends a movement within range 3 of this character, boom, there's your trigger. So whenever a enemy character ends a movement, and a movement is by another name is an advance or a push, right? Those are the two, or a climb.
Yep.
So all of those things. Or a place, that's right, or a place.
Yeah. So basically, every sort of movement in the game.
That's awesome, yeah. So every kind will trigger this. So then, this character may use this superpower. Roll 4 dice. The enemy suffers 1 damage for each crit and wild rolled. If the superpower deals at least 1 damage, this character, so Cassandra Nova, may advance short. Okay, so this is the big one also, I think.
This is money.
Yeah.
This ability is amazing.
So what makes it so good?
The fact that we haven't actually covered this one yet. She has a different ability as well. That means she's basically got stealth. And so you have to be within range 3 to attack her. And as soon as you move into that range 3, she uses this, and more than likely, she's going to get 1 damage on you, which is going to be enough for her to move away. And if you're not in range anymore, that's tough luck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, and I don't want to get too deep into the math of this, but it's crits and wilds on 4 dice, so I think it's like 40% chance that you're going to hit it, but... So it's one of those things where when I first read this, like very like initial hot take reaction was, well, I want the advance, but I don't want to spend 2 power. And then if I don't do the damage, I don't get the advance. That doesn't make any sense. But I think it is, like you said, it's something that you can expect to be marginally successful on. And it's worth going for every opportunity that you have. I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I played a game against her the other night, and she did it 4 or 5 times, and she only failed it once.
Yeah, so I have a story. I played a game with her very recently, and I was able to KO Valkyrie with this superpower.
Amazing.
Yeah, it felt really good. 2 times, I used it 2 times in a row against Valkyrie, and it was just, yeah, it was awesome. So I bring that situation up because I do have a question for you as an accuser.
Yep.
So charge. How does this interact with charge? Because we've seen other abilities in the game that whenever a character gets to move away or Trickster or the one that Quicksilver has that's basically Trickster by another name. So yep. when those happen, it says a character gets an action back. So
yep, it specifically says on those abilities that if you're out of line of sight and range, you get another action. You don't get the same one back, you get another one.
Correct.
But with this one, it doesn't mention anything about your opponent getting another action. So if you charged in with Valkyrie, and we know she's only range 2,
mm-hmm.
and then you got this and got one damage, say, and then moved away, then she had no one in range to attack, that would be the end of her first action.
That's
or second action, depending on which one she used.
Oh, like, I wish that this had video for just this moment right here, because chef's kiss. Like,
it is.
So that's how I played it, because that's what I interpreted that rule and everything to be like, and I thought it was pretty straightforward. But man, that feels so bad if you're the Valkyrie player. That, like, I did it to the guy, and I had told him about it ahead of time, like earlier in the game, and he kind of forgot about it because it was his first time, my first time playing Cassandra, his first time playing against it. Shout out, because I know he's listening, to Sandbox out there. And it was one of those things where it was just like, when it happened, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I feel so bad. Oh no. And then it's like, and here's the damage too. Oh. Yeah. And he was out of range to attack anyone else. So then he played All You've Got and attacked Red Skull, charged into Red Skull, dazed Red Skull, and then moved into Cassandra Nova. And it ended up being the one damage that I needed. And I got it and I moved away. And it was just like, oh no. It was a really great moment. It was one of those like super thematic like MCP moments, you know, where you're sitting there and you could just imagine the comic book panels playing out. Like Valkyrie is like beat up and ready to charge. You've got Cassandra Nova standing over there like, what's up, yo? And she just charges in and Cassandra Nova's like, whoop, just dodges the sword and then like puts a little mental boom onto her, and then she just falls over dead, and then Thor's somewhere screaming angrily. You know, he's seeing red, as you might say. Just,
yeah, that's what we play this game for, those moments.
Exactly. It was super fun. So next superpower, because there's still more.
Yeah, her card is stacked.
So next superpower is a reactive superpower called Telekinetic Deflection. It will cost you 2 power. If this character would suffer a collision, it may use this superpower. This character does not suffer damage from the collision. Like, I can't even finish reading that without smiling.
Brace, anyone?
Seriously, like, okay, Brace costs you 1 power, but you only get it 1 time. Cassandra Nova can spend 2 power, and boom, she's got Brace on tap.
It's just amazing. You've got, like, because you've got some, like, throw-ins really big in the game as well. And
oh, yeah.
To have that, it's basically a restricted card that you don't have to take. Or if you do take it, you've got two lots of braces everywhere.
Exactly. Like, this is amazing to me. And I love how, so we've got a character in Kingpin who doesn't suffer collision damage from characters. But I love how Cassandra Nova is just like, no, I don't suffer collision damage, period. And again, like we talked about earlier, you look at that 2 physical defense and you're like, oh no, that 2 physical defense, she's going to be susceptible to throws. Not really.
Because anyone like Magneto, when they see someone like Enchantress, because Enchantress, you've obviously got the really high defense unless you pay the power, you just throw stuff at her.
Exactly. But
with Cassandra, you're not going to have that option. You might throw one thing at her, then after that she's going to have the power to stop it.
Exactly, which is just amazing to me. And that's getting into an interesting thing here. We're going to finish this up, and then we'll talk about the power situation. So her next superpower is an innate superpower, so it's always on. Telepathic Cloak. Characters must be within range 3 of this character to target it with effects. And you might be asking yourself, why is this not called Stealth? So it's stealth by another name, but it's important that it's stealth by another name because it turns off certain cards, such as Marked for Death, which has been seeing some rounds. I haven't played against it. I haven't played with it yet, but it's one that I've been wanting to try and wanting to mess with a little bit. And I've heard other people talking about it and its viability currently because of stealth being such a powerful and popular thing right now. So this won't be affected by that, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, that's massive. Yeah. Also, with like Mark for Death, it makes their movement slow as well.
Right.
Which no one likes to be slow.
This is true. Nobody likes to be slow. Slow is just terrible. So then you have another innate superpower, flight and healing factor one.
No, which is great because healing factor also opens up another card option for her as well, doesn't it?
With that's exceptional
exactly healing.
Mm-hmm. So exceptional healing is online, and that card allows you to pay 3 power and you only take 1 damage. So it's really great. I think it's a way to keep her alive with, you know, somebody spikes on that physical attack, and now you have to keep her alive somehow. So I really like that. And then healing factor one allows her to get a little bit of damage on her, be in a little bit of an unsafe situation, and then kind of be okay, if you will. So I kind of like that. And it also turns on things like No Matter the Cost, which I'm not necessarily thinking about using with her, but it's there, you know what I mean? Which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think she's the best target for it, but yeah, with the healing factor, she's definitely there. And also, I don't know if you would play with Mr. Sinister with his card where he deals the damage. I mean, she's got healing factor. She'll heal that in the first round.
Exactly. So let's talk about that because it's a good segue into affiliations. You said Mr. Sinister. Where's Mr. Sinister affiliated? Cabal. Where's Cassandra affiliated?
Cabal.
Cabal. Because generic bad guy affiliation is a thing.
Yep.
And that's her only affiliation.
Yeah, she fits really well, I think, with Red Skull's leadership.
100%. And I think that this is where we've really got to get into the minutia of this character, because there's one thing that a lot of other 5-threat characters have, not all of them, but that a lot of other 5-threat characters have that she doesn't, and that is extra power generation on the card. And if you were following along while we were reading this, you saw she had a lot of ways to spend power. And her builder is good at getting that power. Like her Psionic Bolt, 5 dice range 4 with a sat power, you're probably going to be gaining a fair amount of power with that. But it's also going to slow down her ability to do all the cool things. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, definitely. Because one of the cool things is a rubber attack that doesn't build power, it spends power.
Exactly. And you were mentioning Red Skull's leadership. So synergizing there with Red Skull's Cabal leadership, if she does a damage with a mind possession, she gets the power back, which is just great.
Yep.
So I think she's a really great character in a lot of ways, but having another 5-threat character in Cabal that fills a different yet similar role to MODOK. So they both do very similar things. MODOK has Bow. That is one of his most powerful abilities, is the ability to move people around the battlefield. Now, MODOK can use that as many times as he has power, as long as he only uses it on one character, you know, at a time. You know what I mean? So like a character can't be affected more than once. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Whereas Cassandra has Mind Possession, cost her a power, and she can only do it twice functionally. So I think it's a little different battlefield control that they each have, but she has that condition game, which is an interesting form of soft control. But do you feel like it's fair to say that you've got to pick one, or do you feel like that MODOK and Cassandra can all live equally in the Cabal ecosphere? Wow, that sounded really high-level talk right there.
That was. Well, you could play Cassandra, MODOK, and Red Skull at 14.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. You need to stop. So
I don't know if you'd want to play it on Sword Base, though, but...
Yeah, that's a thing you got to think about when we're talking about kind of crisis setup and picking your team and your squad and everything. So a 14 threat Cabal list with those three characters sounds amazing, scary, fun, all of that. But you also have to think about your crisis setup. We only have two 14-point crises in the game. One is Senators, one is Sword Base. Senators, I don't think you have an issue playing it on that. Sword Base, though.
I think
though,
they would like that. Wow.
Yeah, I think they would love that, actually. Sword Base, though, is one where I don't think you want to play three characters on that, because the effect that Sword Base has where you push players around is so strong. So
yeah,
strong.
And a lot of teams are playing at least 4 to 5, maybe 6 wide on it as well.
Exactly. So you definitely have to account for that. And so I don't know if that would be the spot, but in terms of other affiliations, though, where else do you think she fits?
Anywhere that's really going to give her power, but that can be said about a lot of characters, can't they? I think she would work well in Brotherhood.
For sure. And
Magneto's Brotherhood, obviously.
Absolutely. But here's the question. So I think you said it perfectly. She would work well with anywhere that gives her power or helps with her power situation. But all of those places already have affiliated 5 threat characters. And so if you put her in Brotherhood, are you not taking Scarlet Witch in that case? Not that you can't have both. I mean, you can. You can make the 6 threat Magneto, the 5 threat Scarlet Witch, and the 5 threat Cassandra Nova. You can make that work. Like, that's perfectly reasonable. But is that something, do you feel like you have to think about it in terms of one or the other?
I don't think, you've only got 3 characters there and they're all like at least 5 threat. I think you would probably not, you'd probably look for a couple more characters. I don't think you'd play all 3 together.
Yeah. And I want to take this with a caveat of play how you want to play. If that sounds fun to you, absolutely put that on the board. All right. Like, I want to go ahead and cover that ground right now, because it's one of those things where, like, me with my semi-competitive look at it, like, I'm probably the semi-competitive, semi-casual. Like, I like to just throw dice and have fun more than anything. And if it happens to be in a semi-competitive environment, that's great. But everybody likes to win, and everybody likes to feel like they made good decisions and all that stuff. So when I say stuff like, well, yeah, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that, that's not to say that you should not be having fun however you want to have fun. You have fun your way. You enjoy MCP how you want to enjoy it. For my tastes here, though, I think that that's just a little too rich for my blood. And it's the same way when you think about Cassandra Nova in something like A-Force or something like Avengers even, because Avengers has a couple of 5 threat characters already in Cable and Scarlet Witch. So, I mean, other than Cabal, like, does she really have a home?
I don't think so. I was thinking about Avengers with under Steve Rogers, but like, because people coming in and she's paying 1 for a psychic distraction.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
It is. And I think that might be actually a good place for her. It's just you're paying a heavy cost to bring an unaffiliated 5 threat character. But I do think that she has value in that, given the current state of 3 threat cost characters in Avengers. Like, they have a bunch of really great 3 threat affiliated characters right now. So you can build in that way and not necessarily have to worry about the affiliated losing affiliation because you're taking an out of affiliation 5 threat character.
Yeah, definitely. I think, though, like you said, if you want to play Cassandra, you look for the affiliation that fits her, and you play her in that affiliation and see if she works.
Exactly. Try her out all over the place. Like, my next place to drop her is, of course, my Web Warriors, because hear me out. All right. I know I have a tendency to say everybody goes in Web Warriors. All right. But I think Cassandra Nova has some interesting play in Web Warriors in a different way than like I did with Strange or with Cable. Right. So her mind possession really fits with what Web Warriors wants to do. Oh, you feel like you're taking this point over here? Guess what? Mind possession, you're not taking that point, and now I've moved Gwen over there, or I've moved Miles over there, or whatever, and then I don't have to worry about trying to spend all my power on my Web Warriors because I can use a character like Cassandra Nova to do those cool things. And she gives him a really nice mystic attack on tap, whereas a character like Doctor Strange, you have to pay for Crimson Bands and stuff. So I kind of like her there.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I thought you was going to come out with the her ability to give out the root and slow.
Well, that's another thing is, so I think mind possession is really where she shines with Web Warriors, but the biokinesis giving out root and slow will protect your Web Warriors that much more. And I love that. I love that. So I think that she's about to be in my list, but I also feel like that when we get Amazing Spider-Man and Black Cat in the US, she's the first drop.
Oh, yeah, of course you haven't got them yet, have you?
Exactly. So when I say Web Warriors, I'm specifically referencing Miles Web Warriors.
Yeah, the original Web Warriors.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where if I'm going to play it, and we'll see how it works. And I've got an event coming up at the end of August, so I've got to start kind of tuning up the list. And I had planned on getting my Web Warriors at the end of July, but apparently that might not be the case. Apparently. So we shall see. But if I get them by the end of July, well, then it'll be a Web Warriors tournament list with no Cassandra Nova. But anyway, so you said you got a game against Cassandra Nova. How do you feel like she played on the tabletop?
She was very hard to pin down. Like, I was playing Black Order, so I pulled her in to start with Thanos, and I was like, okay, I'll beat her up a bit. And all I did was give her 2 power.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which made it worse. Yeah, so what happened? Corvus moved up, moved close enough, and she was like, bye-bye.
Oh, no.
So instead of Corvus dazing her on the first turn, Corvus just double moved.
Oh, no, that's a sad Corvus.
Yep.
Oh, man, that is a sad Corvus. Wow.
Yeah. So she did that, like I said, I think it was 4 times during that game.
Nice. Did she ever get flipped?
Yeah. Corvus got her eventually.
Right. At that point, he had Bloodlust and he just needed to get her.
Yeah, definitely. He dazed everyone else by then. There was only her left.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, her ability to run away is incredible, and the chip damage as well. People don't realize, oh, it might only be 1. Sometimes you might get more, but just even the 1 damage 2 or 3 times just adds up so quickly.
It really does. And the interesting thing about chip damage that she does there, so like if Thanos moves, well, he just reduces damage, period. But someone like Corvus or Proxima, their damage reduction is by a minimum of, or to a minimum of 1. So that chip damage really hurts them.
Yeah, and it was just the 1 each time they were getting as well to get the movement, and that's all they needed.
Yep. That's all it takes to get out of dodge and really prevent the Corvus death chain from starting off.
Yeah.
So that's really awesome. Like I'm glad that you had fun against her, and it was fun to see her on the battlefield. And I haven't said this in a while, so like I said, I played her in a Cabal list. It was her and Omega Red in a Red Skull list, and my list was Red Skull, Sin and Crossbones, because I am in love with those two characters right now, and then Cassandra Nova and Omega Red. And I've learned a lot about Cassandra Nova and Omega Red in that game. 1, Omega Red wants to live all the time. He double moved turn 1 and then did not move again and was messing up everyone. And yeah. it was wonderful. He was so good. And then Cassandra Nova is, like I said, something I haven't said in a long time. She is a finesse character. Like, she's gonna have a lot to do on the battlefield, but playing her effectively, I think, takes a kind of seeing the battlefield in a way that is going to be hard at times. So I think that she's a character that is like a control piece, obviously. I think she's obviously a control piece. I think she's also a character that has these kind of like inverse control, like we've been talking about, with her psychic distraction, the ability to, oh, you think you're going to attack me right now. You think you're going to move into me. Well, no, you're not. And like, that's in a sense a form of control, because like that, the instance I mentioned with Valkyrie, she functionally staggered Valkyrie and made her spend 2 power. That's huge. And being able to kind of time those things right, like you said, you went in with Corvus and made Corvus double move. That's a sad, sad Corvus. And being able to use those abilities and time those abilities just right is really hard. And I think it's going to be something that her role on the battlefield is going to be defined by psychic distraction and mind possession. And her other stuff is great. I think the biokinesis is great. The telekinetic deflection, great. Having stealth, great. But it's really going to be in how useful and how much distance and use you get out of psychic distraction and mind possession, because she's going to be a hard character to get into those positions. Because let's not forget, mind possession is a range 3 attack. So if you get to within range 3 of someone and there's other characters that you're subsequently within range 3 of, that's the danger zone, because a lot of characters have range 3 things. Not all of them. You know, Valkyrie, we talked about, only range 2. But Crossbones, as an example, has a range 3 attack that people forget about. He has overpower. It's range 3. So you've got to watch out for that, because if you go to move a Valkyrie or a Ghost Spider or whomever it is that you're trying to move with mind possession, but you put yourself within range 3 of someone that has a range 3 attack, well, then you've just turned off your psychic distraction. So positioning with her is going to be very critical, more so than with other characters. And I find that just really interesting. But I also like how she has this telepathic cloak. She has stealth, basically. And so characters like Shuri can't push her off of points if she's there, or can't push her away to keep her from getting to where she wants to be. So I really like that as well.
I do agree. I think she's going to be a finesse piece. Positioning her is going to be massive. And like you said, the mind possession, the psychic distraction, is just synergizes so well together. She can hit you with that, move you, and then maybe get some damage off on you, and then move a short herself.
Exactly.
She's going to be something you've got to play quite a few games with, I think, to get used to her. But once you get used to playing with her, I think there'll be some masters with her out there.
And that's it. I think you're 100% right about that. She's a character that is going to reward time investment. And look, at the end of the day, I don't think anyone asked for Cassandra Nova as part of the Jean Grey box. I am going to go ahead and put my stamp on this right now and say that I think you're going to see more Cassandra Nova than you will Jean Grey on the battlefield.
I agree.
With that said, though, I think she is going to be one of those characters that's just really hard to learn, really hard to get used to, and is going to have this kind of maybe established, like, this is what you do, but then someone's going to discover or unlock another way to kind of interact with her. And I feel like that's going to be really fun to see. And it's going to be really fun to watch people unlock her, because I think that there's something really good with this character. And I think that she's a character that's going to maybe be under the radar a little bit because of all the other new stuff that's coming out. And I think in the competitive scene, you'll see her kind of around. But everybody sees Cassandra Nova. And look, if you don't want anything to do with Cassandra Nova, even if she's a powerful character, great. You do you, boo. That's cool. But for me, I think she's a character that I want to see on the battlefield more. She's a character that I want to unlock a little more. And honestly, she's a character that gets me excited about playing Cabal again.
Yeah, because this be the 5 threat you can take, but not have to take MODOK.
Exactly. Exactly. And not, I don't have anything against MODOK.
I love MODOK.
Yeah, MODOK's great. But, you know, for me, it's just, I think this is a really fun character that I'm really excited to get on the battlefield and all that stuff. So, yeah, and real quick, though, let's go ahead and talk about the tactics card that has her name on it that comes with the Jean box. So it is called Mental Domination, and it's an attack. It says physical attack, range 2, strength 2 for 0 power. During their activation, Cassandra Nova or Jean Grey may spend 3 power to play this card. And that's your power cost right there. Choose an enemy character within range 3 of this character. So within range 3 of Cassandra or Jean. Advance the chosen character short. Then the character that played this card makes the above attack. When measuring range and line of sight for this attack, measure from the chosen character, not the attacking character. Add dice to the attack roll equal to the physical defense of the chosen character. You may re-roll any number of opposing defense dice in the defense roll.
Future Will here, guys, coming at you with a little bit of an update on this tactics card. Turns out it is much like Cruelty from the Criminal Syndicate, where it is an extra action attack that you get to do. So it will not cost you an action when using this card. So have fun with that. Future Will out.
So this is a weird one. And it's one of those, like, I don't think that many of the attack bonus cards are particularly effective. This one's interesting because it provides you a measure of control. So you basically get a bow to the will of MODOK, and then you get to do an attack based on the range from the character that you moved. So, like, if you're at that edge of range 3 and you move a character short, I think that might be range 5 or even longer than range 5. I'm not sure.
All right.
But the most amount of dice you're going to roll with this is 6. Because I don't think we have anybody in the game that has a 5 physical defense, right?
Carnage.
Carnage. There you go. Thank you for the reminder. Well, I don't have him in America yet, so. So.
Yeah. As soon as I seen this card, I thought of Carnage, making it up to a 7 dice. Because the fact you can, it doesn't have to be their activation either.
Right. Yeah, this is interesting. So,
it does.
So, yeah, during Cassandra Nova or Jean Grey's activation, they can do the thing. But I think it's interesting. I think it's one that will be fun on the battlefield. Again, if you're planning on playing Jean Grey or Cassandra Nova, this is a card you might want to think about throwing into your tactics card slots, because, again, the reposition is probably the most valuable part of this, in my opinion. Because then,
well, climbing gear is 3 points. It's, if you look at it as a reverse climbing gear, and you get an attack out of it as well.
Exactly. And you can re-roll any number of dice in the opposing defense roll, which I think that's really good. So, like, instead of re-rolling your attack dice, you get to say, oh, you rolled really good on defense. Oh, wait. No, you didn't. Hopefully. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Very cool. It's one of those that I probably won't be using it very often, but at the same time, when I do get a chance to use it, it'll be pretty great. So, yeah.
I think it's a very situational card, like you said, because of depending on what their defense is, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, very, very situational, very dependent on defense. I mean, you obviously wouldn't necessarily want to use this on MODOK when you have a mind possession available. Right, because MODOK's only got his 2 physical defense. But I think in certain situations, like if you've got a Captain America in a position that you don't want him in, you can move Captain America short and then add that 4 physical defense there, or whomever you want. But I think definitely trying to target the 4 or higher physical defenses is where you want to live with this.
Great.
So, yeah. This has been a good show, man. I like Cassandra Nova. I think she's a character that is going to surprise some people when they first get her on the battlefield. That's going to really really be around, but also not be like ubiquitous, which I think is good. So, yeah. What do you think about this character, like, overall?
I think she's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it.
I think she's like a five threat Mysterio.
Yes. Yeah. Who's very good. But yeah. Anywho, with all of this said, I think that's about time to wrap it up. Where can people find you?
You can find me on the Discord, in the HP House Party Protocol Discord, or on the normal Discord. I'm always around.
Oh yeah, and you're definitely great with the rulings. You've helped me out on a couple of matches, popping in with a ruling as an accuser, and I definitely appreciate that. And you're always up for a game, which is nice, because we haven't gotten a game in yet together, but one of these days we will. But I definitely know I see you out there playing and whatnot. So that's awesome. Make sure to check out House Party Protocol on Facebook. Leave us a like over there. If you have an opportunity, leave us a review on your platform of choice. Like if you're listening on iOS, they allow reviews. So I would really appreciate a review. If nothing else, like if you think we're like 3 stars, that's great. But then, you know, I'm pretty sure we have a decent quality. So, like, we've got to get at least 2 stars for the quality, right? I mean, I would think so. But if you would please leave us a review over there, I would really appreciate it. If your platform of choice has that opportunity, it'd be great to help with the algorithms and getting more MCP content out there to the multiverse, as they say. Also, you can send us emails at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. You can send us messages on our Facebook page. I really enjoy that stuff. I had some comments earlier about my salty hot take for the new movement and Wakanda stuff. And I'm putting this at the end. I should have mentioned this earlier, but I've kind of softened on that a little bit. I think that ultimately it is a boon to the game. It's going to be a net good thing. I just feel like that, still feel like that it does increase that complexity budget just enough, especially for more seasoned players, more so than maybe newer players, because you can tell a newer player this is when you have to do the thing, and they'll just, okay, cool, this is when I do the thing. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. I think that overall net good thing, and my hot take saltiness soapbox rant was just reactionary, all that good stuff. But anyways, thanks for letting me know what everybody thought about that. I really appreciate that. I really love that feedback. I love interacting with all y'all. And if you're interested in checking out our Patreon, you can become a patron to the House Party Protocol. It's patreon.com/houseparty protocol. And for $1 a month or $12 a year, you can come and hang out and chit chat on our Discord. And I know you can speak to this, that we have a good time and it's pretty chill over there, right?
Yeah, we're always chatting about lists and having a laugh. It's really good Discord.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, if you're interested, check that out. And, with that, party on, Darren.
Party on, Will.
And power down suits.